Psalms, and we'll look at chapter 66 first, and then into chapter 67. We are preaching recently on the subject, what does the future hold? What is yet to come? And we're not considering what does the future hold in terms of what does the church think that it holds, or what does the pastor believe that it holds, but what does the Word of God teach, or what does the Word of God say? What has God revealed to us in the Bible that the future holds? And this morning we were considering that the Bible teaches there will be on earth, after a seven-year time of tribulation, there will be the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. He will come literally and physically, will set his throne, or will set upon the throne in Jerusalem, and will rule and reign over the nations. It's a wonderful time called the Millennial Kingdom. By the way, the word millennium is not in the Bible, but we read this morning in Revelation chapter 20, a time period of 1,000 years. We read it 6 times. And the word millennium is made up of 2 words, milli and annum. Milli means 1,000, annum is years. So the Bible does speak 6 times in Revelation chapter 20 of a time period of 1,000 years in which Satan is bound and does not go forth to deceive the nations, and Christ rules and reigns with his saints for 1,000 years. So that's where we get the word millennium. So we're going to continue talking about that tonight, but let's begin in Psalm 66. And we'll read the first four verses. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Or, think about that. Wow. Psalm 67. God, be merciful unto us, and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Just another Old Testament picture of the truth we saw this morning in Revelation 11:15. Therefore, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. Now, again, the main teaching is in Revelation chapter 20. Let me quickly review. We said this morning that the millennial reign of Jesus Christ on earth is characterized by the following. Number one, Satan, the enemy, the deceiver of mankind, is bound and placed in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. He has no influence over man. He cannot deceive man. Now, when God first put man on earth, Satan was not in the picture, but he soon came on the picture and deceived man. He deceived Eve and Adam, and they sinned against God, and everything changed. And the world was not anymore as God created it to be. And all that it could have been and all that it should have been, that was changed by the curse that sin brought when Satan deceived man. Now the deceiver is going to be locked up. And Jesus Christ will be on the throne. He will be the central figure, the central authority. Can you imagine the surprise? Can you imagine the shock of some people in this world when they realize that Jesus is, number one, real? He's not just a story. And number two, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and all the earth bows before him. I don't know about you, but I was thinking about that when I saw that video, and I was thinking about those men talking about the Bible being the hope of their nation. That's wisdom. And I don't know why they didn't mention the price, so I'm going to do some work this week and figure out what it costs to get a Bible and to provide those Bibles, and we'll have that information for you next week. But what a wonderful thing. The Bible says that Christ will rule and reign as king in Jerusalem over all the earth. Number three, we said that the saints of God, that's you and me, and saints that have come through the tribulation period, have laid down their lives for the testimony of Christ, refused to bow to the Antichrist. Many of them will be beheaded, and for their testimony and faith. But they will be given the right and privilege. They'll be resurrected, and they'll be given the right and privilege, along with you and I, who've returned from heaven with the Lord Jesus to rule and reign. So he will rule and reign, and we will rule and reign with him. Number four, Jerusalem will be the center of worship worldwide, over and over and over again. In the Old Testament, we read about the nations flowing into Jerusalem, coming to God's holy hill to be taught of the Lord and by the Lord and to learn the ways of the Lord. And then number five, we said there will be no more war. No more war. The nations will learn war no more. The Prince of Peace is seated upon the throne. The great enemy and deceiver of mankind is bound up in the bottomless pit. There'll be no more war. I won't belabor that. Now we'll pick it up from there, and I'll tell you, in the sixth place, there will be justice prevailing on the face of the earth for all men. There will be justice. We could spend a lot of time tonight talking about the injustice in the world in which we live, about men and women who commit atrocious crimes and seemingly get away with it. Governments who defraud their people and steal from their people and misrepresent the truth. All around the world, there is a cry from broken hearts and ruined lives. When shall we be avenged? When will these things be set right? There's a demand and a cry for justice. I want to tell you something. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, is just. He is righteous. That means he's fair. That means that he will do what is right in every case. And those who rule and reign with him will have glorified bodies. We will also be like him. And we will rule and reign in his wisdom. And we will carry out and administer justice. Look with me at Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse number 5. Jeremiah 23, verse number 5. You know what? I was thinking the other day, one of the things I miss about my youth more than anything, interestingly enough, the speed with which I could find places in the Bible. I still know where they are, but I just can't get to them as fast as I used to. Sometimes I respond to the challenge of a Bible drill when I'm not leading the Bible drill, and I try. I cannot do. I used to win them all the time. I cannot do it. I can't find things as quickly, and it hinders me in the pulpit. But anyway, I don't know why I told you that, but I do miss that. Jeremiah 23 and verse 5. I blame it on my Bible sometimes. Well, the pages are old and tattered, and they don't turn like they used to. Jeremiah 23 and verse 5, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch," capital B, indicating a person, "and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and" what? "Justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely." Remember that one. We'll mention that in a moment. "And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness." He will execute judgment and justice. Look at Isaiah. Now, in just a few weeks, we'll be really focused on Christmas, and we'll be mentioning several passages of Scripture that have to do with the coming of Jesus. For us, Christmas is a celebration of his first coming, his birth in Bethlehem. And we will mention Isaiah chapter 9 and this prophecy in verse number 6 and 7. "For unto us a child is born." That's Jesus. "Unto us a son is given." The same event. A child is born. His name is called Jesus. And in that child being born, a son is being given. Who? The Son of God. God becomes flesh and dwells among us. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with what? Justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Psalm chapter 72. Psalm 72. I don't know how I'm failing you actually in my inability to define in words what it would mean to live in a just society, where every person who does wrong knows that they will immediately be met with a swift retribution, where no one will be able to pull the wool over anybody's eyes, but the truth will always be known, and right will always prevail. That's amazing. The Bible tells us that it is exactly because we have no justice. When sentence against an evil work is not speedily executed, therefore the sons of men, the hearts of the sons of men, is fully set to do evil. But if you reverse that equation and you swiftly execute punishment or justice on wrongdoing, it kind of gets in the way of men wanting to do wrong. They know they can't get away with it. And there will be a lot of righteousness in that day because there will be justice. You won't get away with it. There won't be any plea bargaining. There won't be any crooked lawyers. There won't be any paying off the system, any bribery. The Lord Jesus will reign, and those who know him and are operating in the power and strength of his Holy Spirit will reign with him, and the truth will always be known. You know, there will not be much sin and evil going on during that 1,000 years, although men are still sinners. You know why? Because they can't get away with it. When you put people in the presence of police officers or in the presence of cameras, video cameras, why do we post surveillance here or this video cameras warning, letting you know? Why? Because they know that if you believe that, you'll change your behavior, right? And men will not do what they do now because they know they can't get away with it. What a blessing. What a time that's going to be on the face of the earth. Time of justice. We're in Psalm 72. We should read the whole psalm. But notice verse 2. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy and break in pieces the oppressor. All of that speaks of doing what's right. Justice. In verse 7, in his days shall the righteous flourish and the abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. And then in verse number 12 to 14, for he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, and the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and the needy and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. There will be justice for all men everywhere. Number 7, what will the millennium kingdom be like? There will be long life. Long life. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah chapter number 65. And I remind you, as I told you this morning, and if you weren't here this morning, I'm telling you that there are well over 140 plus passages of the Old Testament that speak of the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ and the characteristics of it. We're just touching the surface. But Isaiah chapter 65 and verse number 17, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Watch, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old. So in that day, if a man 100 years old dies, it's as if a child died. That's what he's saying. But the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. Now watch this statement. For as the days of a tree, do you know anything about the life of trees? For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. You say, Pastor, I really don't understand that. Well, let me try to help you. The shortening of man's life on earth has progressively happened as a result of man's sin. It's a part of the curse because of man's disobedience. The curse is partially lifted. It's not totally lifted, but it's partially lifted during this time because the deceiver is gone and the King of Peace, the King of Righteousness, reigns upon the throne, and the curse is partially lifted, and men are going to live long lives, long like they did in the Bible, much longer than they do now. So is the teaching of Scripture. Look at chapter 29 of Isaiah. And verse number 18, Isaiah 29 and verse 18. Not only will men live longer, but their life will be improved. There will be a change in the disabilities that men experience. Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 18. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Notice the deaf hearing and the eyes of the blind seeing. Go to chapter 35, Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, as a deer or a gazelle or something in that of that nature. And the tongue of the dumb, those who are unable to speak, the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be the grass with reeds and rushes, and on it goes. Look at verse 9. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there. Watch this. And the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and with everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. What a marvelous, wonderful picture. Let me move on. So there'll be long life and an improvement in the quality of life according to what we read. And there are many other scriptures to consider. But let me go to number 8. There will be safety in the land. There will be safety. Men will dwell in safety. Ezekiel chapter 34, beginning in verse 23. Ezekiel 34 and verse 23. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. If you ever wondered where the inspiration for that song comes from, there it is. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke, and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. They shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. Why? Because there's a righteous king governing the earth, and those who rule for him carry out his rule, and justice is meted out. Men live in respect and fear of the retribution of the throne, and therefore they are not going to hurt others. It'll cost them dearly. And so there's going to be a change in men. There will be an ability to sleep in the woods and travel in the wilderness with confidence and safety. Number nine, and we've already seen that hinted at here, the nature of the animal world will change. Now listen carefully. When the curse came upon man, his relationship with the animal world changed. And particularly after the flood, the first great judgment of God upon the earth, God said, the fear of every animal and beast shall be, the fear of you shall be upon every animal, every beast, every fowl of the air. They shall be meat for you. There was a change in the relationship between man and animal. And there was a curse that not only affected man, but affected the earth. The ground was cursed for his sake and brought forth thorns and thistles, and man has to now work to bring forth from the ground when it used to bring forth abundantly without that effort. But also the curse came upon the animal kingdom and the animal world. And therefore you have this viciousness or this danger, that which we fear or causes fear between man and animals. But go to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter number 11. With the king on the throne and the partial lifting of the curse, that's going to change. And in Isaiah chapter 11, in verse 1, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, that's David's father, and a branch, again capital B, shall grow out of his roots, that is referring to the Lord Jesus, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. And by the way, that same Spirit will rest upon you and I as we rule and reign with him. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Now watch, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. You know, probably the last time anybody ever saw that happen was when the kid was inside the lamb, or inside the leopard. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Something's changed. It's the presence of the king. They know who's the king. Their king is among them and reigning righteously. The animals change. The curse is lifted. The cow and the bear, verse 7, shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Amazing. And the sucking child, the nursing child, shall play on the hole of the asp. Poisonous reptile. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Amazing. Peace will be the characteristic of every part of his reign. When man gets right with God, then the world gets right with man. Say that again. When man gets right with God, and man lives in right relationship with God, then the world gets right with man. And by the way, that'll work today. If you live in harmony with God and in peace with God and you love the Lord, God says He will command His blessing upon you. He'll turn His enemies, He'll turn your enemies to your friends, and He will protect you and bless you and hedge you about on every side. The things of this earth will be made right with you when you're in right relationship with God. But if you don't care to have a right relationship with God and you stand in rebellion and you fight against Him, do not be surprised if the world causes you a lot of heartache and a lot of hurt. Well, we've got to hustle on. Number 10, there will be an abundantly fruitful earth. We've already read that in these verses. Did you not? Did you note it? Where God says He's going to abundantly bless the earth. We'll look at it again here. We're in Isaiah. Look at chapter 35. Isaiah 35. You'll be happy to know that we're almost done. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 1. Again, the wilderness and the solitary place, picture that in your mind, shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Hello? It would have always been blossoming like that if it wasn't for the curse placed upon it because of man's sin. God said, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Curse is removed. The earth is going to bring forth in a way you cannot even begin to comprehend and even begin to imagine. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. That's the forest of the cedar trees, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon, the northern parts. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. And we already read down below about the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf and so forth. Again in verse number 6, in the wilderness shall waters break out, streams in the desert and the parched ground shall become a pool, and thirsty land springs of water. Look at verse 20. Oh no, I'm in the wrong place here. Go with me to Psalm 67. Where we were just a few minutes ago, where we began the service actually, Psalm 66 and 67. Notice that when God's way is known upon the earth, Psalm 67 and verse 2, it means His saving health among all nations. And then in verse number 6, then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. The earth will yield her increase. Go to the book of Joel. The Old Testament again, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, and then the book of Joel, chapter 2. Joel chapter 2 and verse 21. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for He hath given you the former rain moderately. He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. I'll restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed, and you shall know that I'm in the midst of Israel, that I'm the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. You hear the words of prosperity? I'm telling you that even the weather patterns, I believe, are going to be affected. I think if you search the Old Testament scriptures enough, you'll understand that not only did the curse touch the earth and touch the animal kingdom, touch man, but it touched the weather patterns and the hurricanes and the volcanoes and the floods and all of those things. As a matter of fact, throughout the Bible, they're always used as signs of God's judgment upon earth. And those will be stopped. He who stood in the midst of the raging sea and spoke these three words, peace, be still, is going to be reigning on earth. And He's going to say, peace, be still. And the weather patterns are going to be changed. And it's going to be a time of wonderful fruitfulness and prosperity. Finally, it is, of course, going to be a time of great, abundant joy and gladness. Everything we've said before would lead to this conclusion, even if the Bible didn't say so. If we could imagine and envision a time when the earth is going to yield in abundance and fruitfully, and we can imagine a time when there's no industrial pollution and no natural catastrophe and no natural disaster, and the animal nature has changed and the nature of man has changed, and people can sleep safely in the woods and in the wilderness, and justice is being meted out, and the blind can see and the deaf can hear, and all men are treated equal, and there's peace upon the earth. There's no more war. No more anger. Of course there's going to be joy. But again and again, we've read here in these verses tonight, there will be times of rejoicing and great joy and abundance of happiness. It's sad. It is sad, the condition of North America tonight. Nobody in the world has as much as we have. And yet you go on your internet tonight and you research how many people are depressed. How many people are taking some type of medication to get through and to cope with life? It's amazing. Not going to be depression. Not going to be discouragement. Not going to be any bewilderment. Not going to be any fear. Not going to be any pain. Not going to be any uncertainty. Just joy and gladness and singing and song, because the earth is at harmony with the king, and the animal kingdom is in harmony with the king, and man is bowing in submission to the king because he has to, otherwise he cannot live. What a time, what a day that will be. What a world that God has created, much as it was in the very beginning. By the way, let me read this description. This is a pastor. I've never heard these sermons. He put a book of sermons, 10 sermons on the second coming. But David Cloud quotes from him on this one occasion about the curse taken off the earth. And he says the ban will be taken off the earth. For 6,000 years it has been under the original curse. The earth is a deep and fruitful matrix. It's filled with seed. It's ever in travail and ever seeking to bring to the birth. Were it not restrained and hindered and held in check, it would bring forth in such abundance that neither ache of back nor sweat of brow would be required to reap and eat and drink of all the wealth of bounty the earth could bestow. But God ordained its fruitfulness to be limited. The sin of man brought the seed of woe and filled the earth's flanks with evil and poisonous things. Henceforth there should be weeds and briars and thorns and trailing vines to strangle and choke the good seed, to dwarf and kill the fruit. No care is needed for those things. Weeds and thorns and poisonous vines will come up in the night. They will grow in the desert and flourish in the flinty rock. But if you would have the good seed grow, you must toil and labor and water with sweat and encourage its tardy growth with your painful care. Rain or drought, chill winds and frost will little hinder the worthless thorns and weeds, but the good seed must be shielded from burning sun, from torrential rain, from mildew, from blasts, from east winds that blow unwelcome storms, and from insects which, like heartless marauders, like the enemy in the dark, go forth to spoil with bite and sting the hoped for, toiled for yield. Do you recognize the world in which we live? But in this new day, the ban will be lifted. And then will the desert blossom as a rose. The orchards will bend low with freighted fruit. The vines will hang their purple clusters in the sun. And the earth shall be as the paradise of God. And man, its happy keeper. What does the future hold? It holds a wonderful 1,000-year period in which the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, will rule and reign. And I will be there ruling and reigning with him and every person in this room who is saved at the rapture of the church and called up to be the Lord. We will return from him at the end of the tribulation, the battle of Armageddon, and we will set up kingdom with him, ruling and reigning with him, not because we deserve it, but because we've accepted his love and submitted to his kingdom and government. And he will make us like himself and put us in positions of authority, and we will live for 1,000 years in an Edenic place. I've had a lot of fun, a lot of enjoyment in my travels in this world, seen a lot of beautiful things and breathtaking sights and enjoyed a lot, and nothing compared to what I'm going to have for 1,000 years. And who knows how we'll be able to travel and move and go, because we're going to have glorified bodies, unlimited bodies. We're going to be made like Him. And so I don't know what, I'm not even going to surmise that. I just suspect it'll be pretty nice. And we won't be limited or hindered. Nothing to keep us from enjoying this beautiful world that God has created. Jesus is coming again. The Bible clearly says it. He came the first time, just like the Bible said. He's coming again. He came the first time as a servant. He comes this next time as a sovereign king. He came the first time as one who was obeying the Father. He will come now as one who is commanding for the Father. He came the first time alone to live with a poor Jewish couple in an obscure part of the earth. But He's coming again with thousands of His saints and with the holy angels to rule and reign in visible power and glory from the city of Jerusalem in majesty and splendor. He came the first time in humility. He will come in majesty. He came the first time to seek and to save that which is lost. Have you heard the voice of the shepherd? Have you come to Him? Have you allowed Him to save your soul? He will come the second time to judge and sentence the lost. He came the first time as a sower of the seed. He's coming the second time as a reaper of the harvest. He came the first time in grace. He comes the next time in wrath. He came the first time as a lamb. He comes the second time as a lion. And by the way, isn't it interesting that phrase, the lamb shall lie down with the lion? There is no disharmony in the nature of God between His humility, His mercy, His love and His goodness, and His holiness and justice and judgment. They get along perfectly together. But until you receive Him as the lamb slain for your sin, until you accept the lamb, you will never have the favor of the lion. You must come by way of the lamb. Are you ready? Are you excited? Are you anticipating? Do you understand what lies in the future for you? I hope you do. I hope you're thrilled. I hope you're blessed. And I hope you'll not keep it quiet. Share it. Tell it. I hope that you wrote some of these verses down. If not, you can go back and listen to it on the internet, and you can jot the verses down. Show them to your neighbors. Say, hey, I didn't make this up. Here's what the Bible says. Look, read it. Can you believe that? This is what's coming. This is what God's going to do. This is the way it's going to be on earth. Are you going to be here? Let me show you how you can be. May the Lord help us. Father, thank You for Your precious word. Thank You for its instruction. Thank You for its the hope that it engenders within our heart. The truth resonates within our soul and brings joy, brings hope, brings optimism, brings faith. Lord, please bless Your people tonight with Your word. If there's someone in this room tonight who's never met You, never come to know You as their God, as their personal friend, as their creator and their redeemer, their savior, I pray they would be drawn by Your Holy Spirit to the cross tonight, to Calvary tonight. I pray they would bow their knee and bow their heart and receive the wonderful love You offer them in the person of Your Son, whom You gave to be their Savior. Oh, Father, may men and women bow their knee and their heart today in the presence of the Lamb, that they may enjoy the reign of the Lion. Father, have Your way and will. Please work among us, and we'll be so grateful and so thankful in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please. Let's just keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The pianist will begin to play. Most of the folks in this room, I know you, but not everybody. I wonder, is there anybody in the room tonight that would be willing to testify with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around? you'd say by an uplifted hand, just raise your hand up and say, I'm not sure about my relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not sure that I have made things right with God. I'm concerned about my future. Would you pray for me, preacher? I promise you, give you my word, I'm not going to embarrass you, point you out, come back to you, but I would love to know that you're concerned, and I would like to pray for you. Anybody? Just God and I are looking, and you would just slip up your hand real quick and put it back down. I'm burdened. I'm concerned. Thank you. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Pray for me, preacher. I'm burdened. I'm concerned. All right. The altar's open. You can come. I'm going to step down to the front. If you want to come and pray and kneel here and meet the Lord, if there's something between you and Him, some sin that needs to be confessed and forsaken, some step of obedience you need to take, just slip out and come. If you're not sure you're saved and you want to talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus and about your soul, I would plead with you to slip out and come, and we'd have somebody take the Bible and answer your questions and show you how to meet the Lord Jesus tonight. I would beg you to do it. Give you just this few moments if the Spirit of God is working on your heart, if you feel a deep pressure, an urgency in your heart and your soul. That's not me. I can't do that. It's the work of God in you.